Hey Jeff, thanks for taking the time to talk to us today at Classical IPR.
Amanda, thanks so much for having me. I'm thrilled to get the opportunity to talk with you.
Because 2020 has been such a whirlwind year with COVID and the election and everything happening, one major historical event has kind of gotten overshadowed, which is the 100th anniversary of the ratification of the 19th Amendment, giving women the right to vote. But a new piece that you composed and that involves about 100 area musicians will premiere this Friday to celebrate this milestone. So tell us a little bit about the lesson of the lark.
This has been about a 2-year process. It started with my wife, Laura Knight Cobb, who's a local author. She wrote a book called The Lesson of the Lark, and it was written in celebration of the 100th anniversary of the ratification of the 19th Amendment. And I was just struck by the beauty and power of the text. And I turned to her after she completed, and I said, I've got to write a concert length piece out of this. It just really spoke to me. And so I began work composing pretty much right away. And we started rehearsing it last January with the choirs, and we had an awesome orchestra all lined up, and we were all ready for an April premiere. And then in March, COVID happened and everything got shut down. So unfortunately, it meant an end to the semester and our performance season. But as we kind of regathered and looked at this fall on how that would look, it became obvious to us that here at the college, the most safe route was going to be online or virtual offerings. We serve a huge population here with community members and students. So we were searching for something that would work well in the virtual realm, as it were. And it just made sense because the choirs had already done all this great work on the Lesson of the Lark for us just to continue that process. So we just moved it into the virtual realm, and that's kind of where we are today.
And this is a huge undertaking. I mean, it's a work for a narrator, two soloists, you're using soprano and mezzo-soprano here, chorus, jazz orchestra, and the performing forces, it's musicians from NMC's choral ensembles and the music department faculty. There's some Interlochen faculty members and a variety of other guest artists. So you said you started rehearsing in January. Tell us a little bit about the transition and the rehearsal process and getting to the performance stage in a virtual world.
Yeah, so this was new to all of us, myself included. And I think we had the benefit of having already done some good rehearsal work on this piece. So I think that offered the singers an opportunity to feel more comfortable with it as we began the move to virtual rehearsals. But I have to say the whole virtual rehearsing worked out better than any of us thought it would. It's not perfect. It doesn't replace that face-to-face connection and that being in the same space and feeling the vibrations of the music that we're all creating together. Nothing can replace that. But there was something really great, especially after we'd all been locked down and kind of isolated for months and months, to see each other on the screen and to see each other's beautiful faces and to feel like we are connecting and working on something together and making music together. So the virtual rehearsals actually went better than I could have expected. And another cool thing about this project, just a quick aside, is that because it's virtual, we ended up having singers from around Northern Michigan join us. We've got singers from Petoskey, from Gaylord, from Grayling, all over the place, just because their choirs weren't doing anything and they were able to just log in and join us. So that's been cool. We've been able to kind of spread our influence, as it were. But every week we'd rehearse and we would work from movement to movement. There's 8 different movements in the piece, so singers were learning them and kind of relearning them for many of the singers and just kind of refining them. And then just about every week during the process, they would have to submit their own recording of that movement. And that meant that they had to set up a home studio, so they're recording themselves on video, capturing a really good quality audio, good quality video, and then sending those video files in to me. And we did that for about 8 weeks until we had all of the singers' videos in. In the meantime, our orchestra were at home doing the same thing. They would record all the parts on their own. Everybody had a guide track or a click track that they could record against so they could hear tempo changes and intonation. And then began the fun work of, as you said, it's a huge process, the fun work of compiling all those videos and recordings into the premiere that we'll be sharing on Friday.
Now, if each movement was recorded on a different day, did you ask everybody to wear the same clothes each time they recorded, or will we see them in a new outfit each time?
Right now,
very
my
important question.
Yeah, and right now my singers who are listening to this are laughing because they know what a control freak I am, and and how detail oriented I am. And so yes, we ask that everybody dress the same. And we asked that everybody wear all black just so it felt like a formal event. But we also asked everybody to add splashes of color that matched the suffragettes colors, the white, purple, and gold. And so we did ask for things to kind of be consistent from movement to movement. And frankly, some singers, we switched up the colors from movement to movement, but that's kind of fun. That's okay. But we did shoot for something that was pretty consistent looking throughout.
Okay, so if someone, say, got their hair colored from one week to the next, are they dropped out of the performance then?
No.
Scarf's on the wrong side.
No, goodness, no. No, we just tried to have a plan that made it easy for the singers, too. And because it was a big process for them having to do all this recording, so we just tried to lay out a real systematic process of how we all do that. And we kind of practiced it first all together. And I think just kind of having the same process from week to week. Okay, here I am. It's like us when we go to our Zoom meetings. We have our top half. We're putting on our Zoom shirt and our Zoom tie. Maybe for them, it was putting on their performance attire from the waist up and kind of getting into that performance mode, just as we would for a performance.
And then we have our slippers and our cats and dogs at our feet for the rest of it.
And we do have some fun pictures of those. We've created a behind the scenes documentary video.
Oh, too. I look forward to the outtakes.
Yes.
Well, that brings us to, it's not just the musicians that are part of this. NMC's audio tech and visual communications students play a major role in this performance, in this premiere too.
Yes. And thank you for bringing that up. That's been, for me, the most exciting part of this is that what would have been just a wonderful live performance has become this amazing collaborative project across the NMC campus. So now we have our audio tech students who are helping edit the audio. They're extracting audio off all of those video tracks and helping edit it, get it saved to a proper format, uploading it, sending those files to Jack Connors, our sound engineer. And then on the other side, on the video side, Caroline Schaefer-Hills, who's our excellent program director of visual communications here at NMC, she has her students working on the video aspect of it. So those students have the arduous task of taking all those 90 plus videos for every one of those movements and editing them, combining them, aligning them. And it's been so great to have all this extra input on something that normally would just be those of us up on stage. Now we have all these other people who are lending their artistic vision and their talents to the process. It's just been really exciting to see what's come of it.
It's amazing how just in the last, 6 or 8 months, how we've gone from the earliest attempts at this kind of production with the sort of Brady Bunch look to, not the Brady Bunch, but like to...
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Yeah, I mean, to a much more sort of sophisticated artistic approach.
Truly. And, I think many of us have seen good and bad versions of these virtual ensembles. I for me, Eric Whitaker, he's kind of the king of this genre, and he's got an amazing tech team and an amazing budget, which always helps.
Yeah, well, there's that too.
to put these together, and I just feel so fortunate and blessed to have Caroline's help and her students working on this, and it's been so cool. You're right, we have elements where we have all the faces up there, but the students are bringing all this other creativity, stuff I would have never even considered, graphics and animation. And it's adding a whole nother level of artistry to the performance.
And there's a few things that you're able to do in a virtual format that you couldn't do in a live presentation either. And one involves Laurie Sears. I love this. So the piece is for jazz orchestra and it has 5 different saxophone parts.
Yeah, so I scored the piece for kind of a modified jazz big band. And in a jazz big band, you've got 4 trumpets, 4 trombones, 5 saxes, and a rhythm section. I've also added to this score clarinet, flute, and strings. But what's been great about this virtual realm is that it's allowed us to clone our players. So our instructor of trumpet, Josh Wagner, does all 4 trumpet parts. Mike Hunter, who former jazz band director here, amazing trombone player, does all 4 trombone parts. And Laurie Sears, who's featured quite a bit, soloing, et cetera, throughout, she does all 5 sax parts. So it's so cool. In different parts of different movements, you'll see all 5 Lauries up there or all 4 Mikes playing the trombone. So it's been cool to offer them or to be able to pull on their talents to have them participate more fully in the project that way.
The piece is called The Lesson of the Lark, celebrating the 100th anniversary of the ratification of the 19th Amendment and women's right to vote. The world premiere takes place Friday, December 4 at 7 p.m. on the Northwestern Michigan College Facebook page.
I would just want to direct folks to thelessonofthelark.com. It's a website that we've set up that includes a link to the video, and it also includes a link to the concert program and other important information. So if folks go to thelessonofthelark.com, we'll make sure that we direct them directly to the video and give them all the other information they might need to enjoy the performance.
Jeff Cobb, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us today on Classical IPR.
Thanks so much for having me.